Let's take our Bibles this morning, open to the 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And what a wonderful song. What a faithful God, isn't he? He is faithful. And again, many times we may not see what God is doing, but we know that no matter whatever he does, he is faithful. And it's always interesting how many times the songs and even the Sunday school lessons will kind of go in with the message and what is being preached. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, we'll begin reading in verses 8 through number 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. If you don't have a Bible, the words will be on the screen, but we'd like to read that together out loud with me. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 11, and let's read that together. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that ye will yet deliver us. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Father, we do thank you that we can come this morning, Lord, just to lift up your name. Thank you for the good singing. Lord, just as we think of the words of the songs that have been sung this morning, Lord, even the choir song, Lord, we are so blessed. Lord, we think of just the special that the McIntyre family sang. What a faithful God. And Lord, just lifting up your name, Lord, we want to look to you this morning. And I pray that you would just speak to hearts, Lord, as only you can. Lord, I pray that you just use the message this morning, Lord, to encourage, to strengthen, Lord, convict, whatever it might be, whatever the need is for a person this morning. Lord, I don't know the need of anyone here this morning, but Lord, you do. And so I do pray that you would just allow your Holy Spirit to work in each of our hearts as only you can. And Father, just bless this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we've started our series going through the book of 2 Corinthians. And if I say 1 Corinthians this morning or something, you know we're in 2 Corinthians, all right? Sometimes I may say something that I'm not get it mixed up, but we're in 2 Corinthians, and so we just started this last week, going through the book of 2 Corinthians. We went through verses 1 through 7 about facing challenges and how Paul faced challenges in his life, and what we can learn, and how he encourages us to face challenges, and how we can do it, even praising God and looking to God. And so, as we continue this morning. In verses number 8 through 11, he says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, and so much that we despaired even of life." You know, when we think about life, there are a lot of lessons that we go through in life, right? Lessons are used to help us to learn something, right? If you want to learn to play the piano, you take lessons. If you want to learn to play the guitar, you'll take lessons. If you want to learn to paint or to be artistic or something, there are lessons that you take. I know sometimes there can be an ability there, but lessons are there to help us to learn. If you want to learn computer graphic design and how to work on computers and things like that, there are classes and lessons that you take. And we take lessons because there's something for us to learn. And we're hoping that through taking the lesson and learning that we can be better for what we've learned. Many times when you hear one of the ladies play a beautiful piece on the piano, can I tell you that did not just happen overnight, right? When they sit there and play, it took lessons at the beginning and then lots and lots of practice. I can tell you with kids that are learning musical instruments, there are certain songs that I cannot stand. I'm not sure why they do this, but they give kids that are learning the same songs. And so it's not bad the first time around. But when you have more than one kid that wants to learn how to play something, it's the same song again. And you have to hear it again and again and again, over and over, until you're finally like, let's buy a digital piano so they can put headphones on and we don't have to hear it, right? I mean, they just play it over and over. What's the purpose? They're trying to learn how to play, right? And by the way, I'm very thankful for teachers and those who are willing to invest in young people, and thank the Lord for all of those that we have here in our church that are able to use those musical abilities and talents and things. But when we think of suffering, again, it's very interesting how Paul begins this second letter to Corinth. He deals a lot with suffering here, challenges being faced and suffering. And when we think of suffering, we don't really think of lessons or learning from them. When we think of suffering, we just think, I want it to be done. I want it to be over, right? I just want to be out of it. I don't want to go through this anymore. Yet, even in suffering, there are things that we can learn. Because through suffering, there are things that God is trying to teach us that He cannot teach us just on our own. You say, well, boy, I sure wish I could learn those things just without having the suffering. Well, again, think about the ladies playing the piano here. Again, think about the hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours that it takes to practice and the lessons and things to be able to do what they do. And no doubt, I'm sure they'd be willing to say, you know what, I wish that I just woke up one morning and it was just there and I just knew how to play it all. But it didn't happen that way. And even through the hours and hours of practicing, they're learning, and there are things that in suffering, going through trials and going through difficulties, there are things that God is trying to teach us. Really, if you think about it, there are only three possible outlooks that a person can take when it comes to suffering and the trials that we go through in life. There's really only three outcomes. One, if our trials are the product of fate or chance, then really our only recourse is to simply give up. Just give up. Because nobody can control fate or chance. So if the trials and the sufferings that we are going through are simply a result of fate or chance, then it might as well just quit, because there's not really anything you can do about it. Or, number two, if we have to control everything ourselves, then the situation is equally as hopeless. If it's not just fate or chance, but we're in control, is the situation not as equally hopeless? Because how many of you can control what goes on in your life? Because I guarantee you, if you look back in your life, there would be some things that you could say, I wish I would have skipped out on that. I wish I wouldn't have done that. I wish that hadn't come in my life. I wish this wouldn't. You could go back and say, hey, there's like some things I'd like to do over. Well, wait a minute. If you're in control, why would we ever want to go back and do something over? Because we were in control of it in the first place. You see, neither of those two options are really viable, because we have no control over it. But the third outlook is, if God is in control and we trust Him, then we can overcome circumstances with His help, and we can learn through suffering. There's something that God, there's a reason why God has allowed us to go through things. It's not just chance, it's not just fate, but there's a purpose, there's a reason why God has allowed us to go through this. And it's not just, you know, it's not just so that we can be able to say, well, hey, you know, I went through it. No. There's something that God is trying to teach us. So often when we're in the trials and the difficulties, we just want out. And believe me, I get that. I get it. We would just rather say, hey, I want out. But instead, we need to look and say, God, what is it that you are trying to teach me through this? Lord, I'm not enjoying the suffering, right? But I know, God, you're trying to teach me something. God, I'm not enjoying this trial. I'm not enjoying this difficulty that I'm going through. But God, I know that you're in control. You knew this was going to happen before I did, and you allowed it to happen. So God, I need to learn something through this. If you're following, and many of you are, you're following the scripture reading program that we're doing together as a church, and many of you are going through that, and we're going through the book of Job, right? Boy, I'm telling you, we would kind of look at Job and say, boy, Job, man, it's according to Job's friends, which I think somebody made a comment in one of the things, if these were Job's friends, I don't think Job needed enemies. When you think about all that Job was going through, his friends looked at him and said, Job, this is all your fault. It's because of you and what you have done. But yet we read at the very beginning of Job that God says Job was a man that feared God. Job was a man that eschewed evil. Job was a righteous man. And yet, he still suffered. You see, it wasn't because Job had done something wrong. No, God was trying to use the things that Job went through to teach him some things. In fact, as you go through and you begin to see God speaking to Job and basically telling his friends they know absolutely nothing, but God begins to speak to Job and God begins to reveal some things to Job that he's trying to teach him. And friend, can I tell you, that's what God is trying to do many times in our life when we go through trials and difficulties and suffering. God says, hey, there's something here I want you to learn. I'm trying to teach you something through this. The question comes then, are we willing to let God teach us? Are we willing to learn, or are we just going to complain? Are we willing to let God teach us what he wants us, or are we just going to basically say, you know what, hey, if this is how God's going to treat me, I'm done. Look, I can tell you this. I cannot play the piano. I can't, right? But it's not because I was never taught a lesson. I was taught lessons. You know why I don't play the piano? It's because I quit. I quit. And so because I quit, I was never taught. I didn't continue learning. I can find middle C. But don't ask me to play anything. Because I chose not to learn. I quit. And many times when we look back in life, we wonder, God, why haven't I grown spiritually? God, why haven't I become the Christian that I wanted to be? And many times it's because when it got a little bit hard, we chose to stop learning and quit. God says, I want you to learn. I want you to grow. I want to teach you some things, but there are some things that can only be taught during suffering. And this is what we find here this morning. And as Paul has just talked about facing challenges, now he talks about some practical things about what we can learn through the lessons of suffering. Let's face it, nobody enjoys suffering. Nobody enjoys the trials. Again, you read the book of Job, you're going to find Job did not enjoy what he was going through. I cannot even imagine what he was feeling. I can't even imagine. You look at the life of the Apostle Paul and the suffering and things that he went through, and I can tell you, he did not enjoy those things. Yet, he was still able to say and write in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You see, Paul learned some lessons of suffering that he gives us here this morning in these verses. Notice a couple lessons that we can learn of suffering. Notice, first of all, everyone faces suffering. Everyone faces suffering. There is no one that is excluded from suffering. No one. Not one person is excluded from suffering because everyone goes through difficulties. Everyone goes through trials. Now, some may be more, we would look at and say, man, that's more than others. I mean, I'm very thankful that I've never had to go through something like Job went through. The loss of everything, the loss of all of his children, right? I mean, the friends that are just basically accusing him, saying, hey, you have sinned. Just his wife saying, curse God and die. I'm glad I've never gone through that, right? But everybody goes through suffering. Paul faced suffering. He talks about it. In fact, that's why he's writing this. He talks about the suffering that he faced and even talking about how he was even pressed out of measure. Think about what he says. He says, I would not have you be ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength and so much that we despaired even of life. Paul says, look, I have faced suffering before. I know that you're going to face suffering, and I know I have faced suffering. We all face suffering. The Corinthian believers, they were going to face suffering. Why? Because they were trying to stand for God. When you try to stand for God, when you try to be obedient to what God tells you to do, there will be suffering that comes. There will be. Suffering because the world is going to bring opposition, but also suffering because God is going to try to teach us some things through that. Everyone faces suffering. Friend, if you're going through something this morning, can I tell you this morning, don't think that you're the only one. Every person in this room has faced something in their life. Everyone. Every person in this room, if they're not right now, they will face something in their life. You understand? Everyone faces suffering. There's no Christian that is going to be exempt from facing suffering. You've faced suffering. You're going to face suffering. So if we're not exempt from it, then what does God want us to learn from it? Well, notice, secondly, not only do we find that everyone faces suffering, but number two, suffering teaches trust. Suffering teaches trust. Notice what he says in verse number 9. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. Notice the first thing we find underneath here. There is trust in God, not in self. God says, look, here's when you go through suffering, here's the thing I want you to understand. I'm allowing you to go through these sufferings. And by the way, aren't you glad that no matter what we go through, God has already pre-approved it? You say, that doesn't sound good. God's pre-approved it? Yes. You know what that means? That means there's nothing that can come into our life that God doesn't know about beforehand. And there's nothing that's going to come into our life that God says, hey, this is just going to be, just going to crush them. No. You remember when Job and God was talking about Job and he says, hast thou considered my servant Job? And remember what the devil said? He said, yes, but the problem is, God, you have a hedge of protection about him. I can't touch him because you're protecting him. And God says, all right, I'll take my protection off of his family. I'll take my protection off of his possessions. But then what did God say? But you cannot touch Job physically. And then later on, when he comes back and God says, look, I let you do that, and Job still has not cursed me. And Satan says, well, if you let me touch his body, you let me touch him physically, he will curse you. And God says, okay, I'll let you touch him physically, but you cannot kill him. You understand? God was saying, look, there is a limit to what you can do. You cannot go beyond the limit that I have set for this person. You understand, friend? In your life, God has set a limit for you. And man, we can thank God, even though we may not enjoy what we're going through, that it's not worse than what it is. Because it could be a lot worse. But God says, I've set a limit there. I've set a limit. You can't go beyond it. And I'm thankful that God has pre-approved what it is that we go through. And even though many times we may not enjoy it, man, I'm telling you, I don't think Job enjoyed it. I don't think Paul enjoyed the things that he went through. But can I tell you something? God said, hey, there's a limit to what can be done. And I'm thankful that God puts limits on the devil. Amen. I'm thankful that God puts limits on the suffering and the trials and the difficulties that we can go through. And that even though we may not enjoy it, and even though we may sometimes question, say, God, this feels like more than what I can bear, You know what he's saying? I want you to trust me. I want you to trust me through this. I want you to trust me. He says, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, and notice that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. We should not trust in ourselves, but in God, he says. More than anything else, we must learn that we cannot trust in self when going through trials and troubles. I mentioned that this morning in our Sunday school class, if you've ever been in an airplane and you're taking off and you go above the city, or maybe you're getting ready to land and you look out the window and you can see the whole city down below, and you can see the interstates and the roads, and you can see the subdivision and all the houses and how they've been laid out, and you can see the little ponds, and you can see the golf courses, and you can see the superstores and things like that. You can see all those different things. You're way up high. But man, once you land and get down and you get on that road, all you can see is what's in front of you. You can't see all that, right? You understand? That's how we are. All we can see is what's in front of us, but God has that whole aerial view. He sees everything that's going on. And God says, I want you to trust me. I see it all. You may not be able to see tomorrow, and you may not be able to see next month, and you may not be able to see next year, but I see it all, God says. Don't trust in yourself. Paul says we must trust in God. We must trust in God alone. If we think about it, really, trials and troubles should reveal that we are helpless to save ourselves. We are helpless to save ourselves, because if we could save ourselves, then wouldn't we make it so that we actually don't have troubles and trials in our life? I mean, if it was up to us and we are in control, wouldn't we make sure that we're never going to experience a trial, that we're never going to experience suffering, that we're never going to experience a hardship or a difficulty? That's how we would live. Is there anybody in here who's never experienced a trial or a difficulty or a hardship or suffering? You know what that tells me? We're not in control. But yet somehow when we go through a trial and we go through a suffering, somehow we think we're the ones in control. Wait a minute. Being in that suffering or trial or difficulty should reveal to us we are not in control. That's why it should push us to go to God and trust in Him, because, hey, if it was up to us, we would never be in this situation. But we are. And we go through it. We must have the presence and help of God if we're going to be victorious over the sufferings and the trials and the difficulties of this world. Paul says he had the sentence of death in ourselves. You understand what Paul is saying? He's basically saying, we literally thought we were going to die. Now, this is not what we looked at in 2 Timothy when Paul is in prison and he knows he's going to die, right? In 2 Timothy, in chapter 3 and 4, Paul literally says, I know that I'm about to die. This was not that same time. This was a totally different time. And as Paul is writing the church of Corinth, he said, man, I'm going to tell you, we were so pressed down and we were so under stress and pressed out of measure that we had the sentence of death in ourselves. We literally thought we were going to die. This was not just figurative speech. No, he says we really thought we were going to die. And so it pushed us to trust in God. Suffering teaches us trust in God, not in self. Suffering teaches trust, an eternal trust. Think about what he says at the end of verse number 9. But in God which raiseth the dead. The eternal trust that we have in God should reveal this to us. Again, he says, our trust is in God which raiseth the dead. When Paul looked at what was happening around him, he truly thought he was going to die. He literally thought he was going to die. So what is his next option? He says, the resurrection. I mean, that's how close he thought he was to death. He says, we thought we were so close to death that we were simply looking to the resurrection. So we were looking forward to. Because that's how serious this was, he said. That's how difficult this was. And again, we can never really understand what it was that Paul went through, but he said it was so difficult, it was so stressful. He says, we literally thought we were going to die, and so we were just looking to God, which raiseth the dead. We were looking for the resurrection. Interesting, wasn't this what Abraham believed when God told him to sacrifice his son Isaac? When God says, Abraham, I want you to take Isaac and take him up to Mount Moriah and you're going to offer him as a sacrifice. And Abraham and Isaac are going up on the mountain and Isaac looks around and he says, Dad, we've got the wood. Dad, we got the fire. Dad, I don't see a sacrifice. I don't see a sacrifice, Dad. And what did Abraham say? Abraham said, God will provide himself a lamb. Abraham had such trust in God that when God said, Abraham, I want you to take your son up on the mountain. I want you to sacrifice him. He did not question God. The Bible says that immediately the next morning they went up. You want to talk about some trust? You want to talk about some faith? God says, this is what I want you to do. Abraham says, okay. But God, you do know this is the son you promised me. Yeah, I know. Abraham, do you know? Abraham, do you believe this is the son I promised you? Yes, God, I believe. And Abraham, I want you to sacrifice him. Okay, God. And Abraham and Isaac walk up the mountain. And here's the faith that Abraham says to those young men that were with him, that were on this journey with him. And he says, you tarry here. You guys stay here. And I and the lad will go yonder and worship. And then what does he say? And will come again. You want to talk about some faith? You want to talk about, look, I would not want to be in that situation. God says, hey, I want you to take your child. I want you to offer him as a sacrifice. Are you sure about this, God? No, Abraham said immediately the next morning they went. Abraham had such faith that he believed either God would raise his son from the dead or that somehow God would provide. He had such faith, and this is what Paul is saying. He said, hey, I have such faith in God that even if this is the end, hey, well, what do I have to look forward to? I have the resurrection to look forward to. Even if this is the end, even if this is the time when we're supposed to die, you know what? I can still trust God because I know the next greatest thing that's going to happen is going to be the resurrection of the dead. And one day I'm going to be resurrected and I'm going to have a glorified body. I'm going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ for all of eternity. He said, I have such faith, I have such trust in God that even if this is the end, we're willing to trust in the God which raises from the dead. Can I ask you, can you raise the dead? Can you give eternal life? No, of course not. We know who gives eternal life. We know who can raise the dead. And we put our trust in him for our eternal salvation. You see, it's an eternal trust. We put our trust in him that when we die, that one day he is going to raise our bodies and change them into a glorious body that will never experience death again. We trust him. Do you remember the day that you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? What were you saying to God? I trust you. You came to the point in your life where you realized you could not save yourself. That you, going to church and religious rituals and good works and all these different things could not save yourself. And you came to understand that there was only one way, and that way was through Jesus Christ and him alone. And what did you do? You put your faith in him for your eternal salvation. You see, the lessons that God is trying to teach us is that we can trust him. We can trust God, not ourselves, trust God. It is it's an eternal salvation, it's an eternal trust, but may I say, it is also a daily trust. You see, we were willing at one point in our life to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ to save us for eternity. But are we willing to trust him daily? Are we willing to trust him daily? You see, Paul wasn't just looking at the future, he was looking at the present as well. Notice what he says in verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death. So he said, look, we put our trust in God, and God delivered us from that death. Whatever that death experience was that they thought they were going to experience, God delivered them from that. He said he delivered us from that. But watch what he says next. And doth deliver. You know what he's saying? God is still delivering. God is still working. God is still providing. God is still protecting. He said it wasn't just a one and done thing during that time. No, he is still doing it. Friend, do you understand that no matter what you go through, God says, yes, I want you to trust me for your eternal salvation. And if you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can do that. You can put your faith and trust in him so that you can know that whatever you die, you're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ for eternity. You can know that through Jesus Christ. But Christian, can I tell you, it's not just an eternal trust he wants us to have. He wants us to have a daily trust in him. Daily going to him, daily saying, God, I'm going to trust you today. I don't know what's going to happen today, but I'm going to trust you today. God, I don't know what I'm going to go through today, but God, I'm going to trust you through it. That desire is a daily trust. He tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13 that we're all tempted, but yet he says, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. Can I tell you, friend, with every trial, every difficulty, everything you go through, there is a way of escape. You know what that way of escape is? It's Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is the only one that can give us the strength that we need to go through it. He's the only one. It's not going to come from you. It's not going to come from anybody else. It's going to come from Jesus Christ and him alone. And that's why he says he wants us to trust him daily, not just in the past who delivered us from so great death, but he says also right now in the present, he doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. He says, not only do I trust him in the past that he delivered us, I trust him now that he's going to deliver me, and he says, I trust him in the future that he's going to deliver us as well. There was a daily trust that Paul had in God. That's why he was able to say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Even through the trials, even through the difficulties, he was able to trust. He says in 2 Timothy 4:18, the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. In 2 Peter 2:9, Peter says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. You understand, when we are going through trials, when we're going through suffering, God's desire, he's trying to teach us that we can trust him. You say, well, I don't understand what's going on. That's okay. Sometimes we're not going to understand. But are we going to trust him? Are we going to trust him? You say, Pastor, that's easier to say than do. You're absolutely right. It is. It's easier to say than do. But are we going to trust him daily? Not just for our eternal salvation, but what about today? Am I going to trust God that no matter what happens today, I know that he's in control and I can trust him? What about tomorrow? Tomorrow you're going to wake up and say, God, I don't know what's going to happen on this Monday. I don't know what's going to happen at work. I don't know what's going to happen with my family. I don't know what's going to happen in my job. I don't know what's going to happen with my career. I don't know what's going to happen with my health. I don't know anything that's going to happen, God, but God, I want you to know I trust you today. I trust you. I trust you. And when you go through that trial, when you go through that time of suffering, and when you're wondering what's going on, will you still say, God, I trust you? God, I trust you today. You see, the lessons of suffering is that everyone faces suffering. But suffering teaches trust. Trust in God, not in self. Yes, there is an eternal trust for our salvation, but there needs to be a daily trust. Daily going to God, knowing that he is in control. Knowing that we can trust him. It's interesting how we'll trust all kinds of people. We'll trust friends. We'll trust people that say this or that or whatever. But yet when it comes to trusting God, we seem to have a harder time with that. When God's the one that knows everything. When God's the one that sees exactly what we're going through, and he's the only one that can give us the strength that we need to get through it. And it seems like he's the one that we don't even want to trust. Paul says, again, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Can I tell you something? Maybe you're struggling trusting God. Maybe you ought to just underline those verses right there. Maybe you ought to highlight them. Maybe you ought to do something. Go and say, God, I want to trust you. I know that you're going to raise the dead. God, I know you've given me eternal life. I know one day if this body dies that you're going to raise it back from the dead and you're going to give me a glorified body. God, I trust you in that. But God, I don't want to just trust you for my eternal salvation. God, I want to trust you daily. I've trusted you in the past. I know I can trust you today. And God, I know I can trust you in the future. Remember the song that they sang? Remember what it said? What a faithful God. Do we believe that? Do we truly believe that he is a faithful God? If we believe it, can I tell you, we can trust him. We can trust him. It teaches us to trust. May I say, thirdly, suffering teaches prayer. Suffering teaches prayer. Look in verse number 11. He says, ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Suffering teaches prayer. I wonder what Job must have been doing, sitting in those ashes. You think maybe Job was spending some time talking to God? I wonder what Paul must have been doing when that sentence of death was upon his life. You think maybe he was praying, talking to God? You see, suffering teaches us prayer. Because if we're going to trust God, that means we're going to go to him. We're going to communicate with him. But notice, this isn't about Paul praying. Did you notice that? This isn't about Paul praying, it's about the Corinthians praying for Paul. He says, ye also helping together by prayer for us. Now, we know that Paul prayed for all of these people. I mean, basically, he starts out every letter saying, hey, I'm praying for you, I'm praying for you, I'm praying for you, I'm praying for you. But friend, you understand that when they saw the suffering and things that Paul was going through, it helped them to pray for Paul. Aren't you glad that when you go through times of trials and difficulties and suffering, isn't it encouraging to know that there are other people praying for you? Isn't it encouraging to know that there are other people that are wanting to be there and encourage you and lift you up and help you to keep following God? You know, I've said this many times, but you better be careful who your friends are. Because really, can I tell you, when you go through trials and difficulties, it really shows who your friends are. Take again, Job, for example. They claimed to be his friends, but when it came time to the difficult times, they said, this is all your fault, Job. You've sinned. You've done wrong. They weren't there to encourage. They were there to accuse. Can I tell you, when we go through trials and difficulties, we need people to encourage us. But here's the thing, listen, not just to say, hey, it's going to get better, but we need friends to encourage us to keep following God. It's easy for somebody to say, hey, just hold on, it's going to get better. That's easy to say. But you know what? We need friends. We need people that are going to come into our life and say, hey, I don't know what God's doing in your life right now. I don't know why you're going through this, but I know God is faithful, and I know God is good, and you can keep turning to him. You can keep trusting him. And what do? They help point you back to him. Because let's face it, sometimes when we're going through difficulties, the easiest thing to do is stop looking to him. Right? To take our eyes off of him. To almost kind of blame him. And that's why it's so encouraging to have true friends. To have a family of believers that say, hey, hold on. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't forsake him. I know this is hard. I know it's difficult, but you keep following him. You keep trusting him. You keep following what he says. You can go to him. Hey, take time in the word. Be in church. Listen to good Christian music, whatever you need to, but I want you to know God is faithful, and no matter what you're going through, he's still good, and he wants to use this for your good. And say, that's the type of friends you need. You see, suffering teaches us to pray, because when we see others going through suffering, what happens? We remember the suffering that we went through. Remember, everyone faces suffering. Everyone. And it helps us to be able to encourage them to say, hey, you keep trusting God. You keep looking to God. You keep following him. I know you may not understand it right now. I know it may be hard to see, but here's what we do know. In fact, he says this in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good. To them who are the called, or to them who love God, to them who are the called according to Christ Jesus, he says, we know that all things work together for good. You know what that teaches us? I just got to trust him. I can't see, I don't understand the good that's happening. God, I don't see how you're going to turn this into good, but God, I'm just going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. Not me. I'm going to trust you. Not just for eternity, but I'm going to trust you daily. Boy, what a blessing it is when you see someone going through something that you can come alongside and say, hey, I just want you to know I'm praying for you. I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. But you keep looking to God. Don't quit. Don't quit on God, even though it might be difficult at times. Don't quit. You keep going. God's going to teach you something through this. And when you come out on the other side, you're going to find that God has increased your faith. God has helped you to grow spiritually. Isn't it a blessing to know that God works through the prayers of others on our behalf? I'm telling you, that's encouraging. We talked about it just a couple weeks ago with the ministry recruitment night, and I got a couple texts this morning, and then even a couple people talked to me right before church. Pastor, I just want you to know I'm praying for you this morning. I'm part of the pastor's prayer team. Just want you to know I'm praying for you this morning. Can I tell you what, man, what an encouragement to me. I'm not worthy of it. But what an encouragement to know that people are willing to pray for you, and to pray that God would work through the service, and pray that God would speak to hearts. You see, suffering teaches us prayer in our own life, but also in the lives of others, that to know that they are praying for us. And Paul said, what a blessing that was, what a gift that was to him to know that they were praying. In fact, he says in Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 19, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He said, I know God's going to work through your prayer. God's doing something. Don't ever stop praying. Look, I know many times the trials and the difficulties and the sufferings that we face, they're hard. They're hard, and sometimes we just feel like it's just almost too hard to go through. But don't forget, these lessons of suffering, hey, everyone faces suffering. Everyone faces it. And suffering, God is trying to use to teach us to trust him. Don't trust in yourself. Trust in God. And man, what a blessing to know that we can trust God on a daily basis. Daily. Not just for eternity, not just for salvation, but for every day. And to teach us to pray. To go to him in prayer, to pray on behalf of others, to be that friend, that encourager that maybe someone else needs to say, hey, I just want you to know I'm praying for you. Paul said, what a great gift that was to know that you were praying for me and God was working through this. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking about. Friend, maybe here this morning you say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm saved. I'm not sure if I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You talked about knowing that one day you're going to have a glorified body. I don't know that. I don't really know what the resurrection is, and I don't really understand that. But I'd like to know more about that, Pastor. I'd like to know how I can be sure that heaven is my home. I'd like to know how I could be sure that I'm saved. Maybe there's somebody here this morning, you say, Pastor, that's me. God's speaking to my heart. Would you just lift your hand up and put it right back down? I'm not going to come to you. Nobody's going to come to you. I'm not going to call you out. I just want to pray for you. You say, Pastor, that's me. Would you pray for me? I'm not sure if I'm saved. I'm not sure if I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Just slip it up and put it right back down. I just want to pray for you this morning. Nobody's going to come to you. Nobody's going to call you out. Pastor, would you pray for me? I'd like to know more about that. Slip it up, put it right back down. Christian, I don't know what you're going through today. Maybe you're not going through a trial right now. Maybe you're not going through a difficulty. But I know you've been through one before. And I know there's probably going to come another one in your life. Can we learn the lessons of suffering? Every one of us is going to face it. But what will we do with it? Are we just going to quit? Can I tell you, friend, if you quit, you're not going to learn. You're not going to learn what it is that God wants you to learn through it. But if we'll continue moving forward, we can know that we can trust God. Not ourselves, but we can trust Him, that He's in control. Not just for our salvation, but every single day. You say, I don't think I'm really going through anything right now, Pastor. Then maybe you need to be that one, that friend that's praying for those who are. Maybe you need to be that one to be saying, I'm going to be an encourager. I want to pray. I know there's people going through things, and I want to be that one to stand by them and encourage them and help them to say, hey, you keep following God. You keep following the Lord. Don't quit. You keep trusting Him. God's got it taken care of. He's got it under control. Maybe that's the one you need to be today. Friend, I don't know what God's working in your heart this morning. But if He is, I want to encourage you to be obedient to whatever it is He's speaking to your heart about. Maybe God's just saying, hey, you just need to trust me. Whatever it is you're going through, just trust me. Look to me. Or maybe you need to be that one to encourage others. Father, I pray you'd work in our hearts this morning. Lord, help us to learn these lessons of suffering. Lord, none of us enjoy going through suffering, but we know that we can trust you. We can look to you daily for the strength that we need to go through these times. Lord, if we're not going through something, I pray you'd help us to be that one that would encourage and uplift and strengthen, to help others to keep knowing that they can look to you and trust you no matter what it is they're going through. Father, work in our hearts this morning during the invitation now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.